Welcome to Torah Imecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Wachstock, and today we will be learning Parshat Vetchanan. Parshat Vetchanan opens with an incredible recollection by Moshe Rabbeinu of him pouring out his heart in prayer to Hashem, beseeching the heavens to allow him to enter the land with the Jewish people. Hashem refuses, and while Moshe is allowed to see the land, it will be Yehoshua who leads the people into the land. This is Moshe's segue into his exhortations to the people to keep the laws of the Torah. Via series of rhetorical questions, the Jews are instructed that no one can transgress the laws without consequence. We are reminded of the experience of Har Sinai, which completes our historical recap at the beginning of Sefer Yitzvarim. The next section of the book, which begins in the fourth parak and will extend until the 30th parak, is a reformulation of the mitzvah requirements of the Jewish people. Being Hashem's chosen people comes with a robust series of legal responsibilities, with a corresponding list of serious consequences for transgression of the laws. The Jews were promised the lands of Israel, but these promises are interwoven with dire warnings against foreign worship. Failure to adhere to divine standards will lead to a loss of the land. The laws of Ari Miklat, the cities of refuge for those who commit manslaughter, are followed by a repetition of the Ten Commandments and how Hashem spoke directly to the Jews. The Parsha continues with Shema and its first paragraph, which contains a basic warning of our requirements as Jews and warnings against forgetting those lessons and the consequences therein. The Parsha wraps up with a lesson on how to teach our children about the Exodus experience as a moral yardstick for instruction against assimilation and in fulfilling our covenantal responsibilities. While at first glance, it may seem as if the Parsha jumps around thematically, there's actually a beautiful weaving together of the legal and the aspirational. As Michael Hatton points out, the people are about to face real challenges and, quote, their success will depend upon fortitude, perseverance, and unswerving loyalty to God's instruction, end quote. Till now, their entire experience has been bound by the structures of living in the desert. Their national experience is about to undergo a massive shift. Moshe is striving to prepare them for their new experience, and his words are made more poignant by his telling them that he won't accompany them into the land. There are three main pillars within our parsha that Moshe is using to shore up the national psyche, three lodestones that the Jews are to return to in their quest to hold onto the land. They are the Aseret HaDibrot, or Ten Commandments, the Shema, and the story of our redemption from Egypt. The first pillar, the Aseret HaDibrot, is in some ways the most opaque. These Dibrot are significant in that they were carved by Hashem onto the Luchot that Moshe carried down from Har Sinai. They were the words uttered at the giving of the Torah. But why these laws? Why this collection? They're a quixotic mix of soaring ideals of belief, like Anochi Hashem and Lo Yiyeh Lachem, common laws, prohibitions on murder and theft, and rituals like Shabbat. Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik explains that the Aseret HaDibrot are the 10 laws that support and create a basic moral society. It is not that any one of the laws is in and of itself the most significant. It is the way that they work together as a system to create a certain type of society. A society in which people are loyal to their creator and to their parents, those to whom they owe debts. People are honest in their testimonies and keep their word. Moral fiber is woven through all our dealings with God and with our fellow men. This is why the Dibrot were given using the name Elohim, the God of justice. Together they form the foundation for a functional and righteous society. They are simple, straightforward lists that are easy to remember, yet together they create an outsized impact. This is the first key that Moshe has given us in how to build a life in the land. The second is the Shema. Shema is possibly one of the most famous verses in the Torah, one of the first verses we learn as children, and one that resonates throughout Jewish history. It's the verse that Jews used on the 7th of October to identify themselves. Yet its simple meaning is unclear. Why Shema? Why listen? Why shouldn't Jews see or say or believe? Rabbi Jonathan Sacks explains that the choice of the verb Shema is both deliberate and significant. In fact, the verb lishmoa is significant to the entire book of Dvarim, in which it appears 92 times, dramatically more than in any other sefer. He argues that Jewish culture deliberately downplays seeing, lo sasu acharei einechem, you should not stray after your eyes. Rather, we are supposed to shma, be a listening culture. Open quote, listen, concentrate, give the word of God your most focused attention. Strive to understand, engage all your faculties, intellectual and emotional. Make his will your own. For what God commands you to do is not irrational or arbitrary, but for your welfare, the welfare of your people, and ultimately for the benefit of all humanity. In Judaism, faith is a form of listening to the song creation sings to its creator, and to the message history delivers to those who strive to understand it. That is what Moses says time and again in Deuteronomy. Stop looking, listen. Stop speaking, listen. Create a silence in the soul. Still the clamor of instinct, desire, fear, and anger. End quote. It's interesting to note that the ear is key to balance in the human body through its vestibular system of canals. It is the ear that senses when we are right side up and when we are upside down. Rabbi Sacks is pointing out that the command to listen is a commandment of choosing. This is our Moshe's second pillar, the idea that we should choose Hashem and that choosing requires us to take in and hear what is going on around us. Moshe's third pillar for the Jews entering the land is the commandment to remember the Exodus from Egypt. Not only are we told to remember it, but we are given an extended presentation on how we are to pass this remembrance on to future generations. Why? Why does it matter that we were once taken out of Egypt? The Ramban in Shmot Perek Gimel, Pasuk Tet Zayin, tackles this question. The Pasuk there links the commandment of Tefillin to remembering how we were taken out of Egypt. The Ramban there elucidates a general principle. Ki ha-mofet ha-nifla more shi'esh lo'olam eloka mechadsho v'yodeo u'mashkiach v'yachol. The wondrous occurrence teaches that the world has a God who is omnificent, omniscient, and omnipotent. V'ka'asher yeh ha-mofet ha-hu nigzar t'chila mipi navi yitbarer mimenu od amitat ha-nevua ki yidaber ha-elokim et ha-adam v'yigle sodo el avadav ha-neviim v'titkayim im zeh ha-torah kula. And when this miracle was predicted by a prophet, that clarifies the truth of prophecy and the idea that God speaks to humans and reveals God's secrets to his servants, the prophets, and thereby, through this act, testifies to all of the Torah. The Ramban here is explaining that by believing in the redemption from Egypt, we are testifying not just to belief in a historical occurrence, but to an entire set of beliefs about how Hashem has power over the world, how Hashem is actively involved in history and world events, and to Hashem's choice of prophets as the medium for godly messages. The Ramban continues, U'ba'avor ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo ya'ase ot u'mofet b'chol dor le'enei kol rasha u'kofer. And because Hashem does not perform overt signs and wonders in every generation for every evildoer or heretic, yitzave otanu she'na'ase tamid zikaron v'ot la'asher re'u einenu. We are therefore commanded that we should always perform a remembrance and a sign to what our eyes once saw. And we should copy the matter to our children and to our children's children and to their children until the last generation. This explains the emphasis that we see in our parsha in the passing down of the Exodus story. It is not just a recollection of incidents in the past. It's a testimonial to a belief in God's control of and involvement with our lives, as well as in our belief in his prophets as conduits to godly knowledge. The three pillars that Moshe lays out in our parsha are a foundation for how to maintain our relationship with Hashem in a post-Midbar experience as a community. We do this by working to build a godly society via the Dibrot, by choosing to hear Hashem in our lives via Shema, and by testifying to Hashem's presence in our lives by remembering Yitziat Mitzrayim. Together, these three pillars outlined by Moshe are how the Jewish people will truly become a Mamlechet Kohanim Ugoi Kadosh, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Bayamim hahem bazman hazeh. Just as it were in those days, so too it is today. Just as these were a foundation for a godly life when Moshe laid them out for the Jews of the Midbar, so too they can serve the same function for us today. We can choose to actualize the potential of each of these to continue this work in building a society worthy of truly being God's chosen people. Shabbat shalom, and thank you so much for listening.